Guys, if you have a Bible, Luke 17, we started this this last weekend, started this series called Thanks Living. And this is a mindset that we're trying to understand that Thanksgiving is not an event. Now, the older I get, the more I appreciate fall. Anybody else? Come on, somebody. People that, I feel like the older you get, the more you appreciate fall and this time of year. Anybody that loves pumpkin pie? Come on, somebody. Some turkey with some mashed potatoes and some corn on top? Come on. Come on. Any vegetarians in here? Yeah, see, you're all flexitarians. You're not vegetarians. You're flexitarian. Around Thanksgiving, you skip the vegetarian part because you want turkey. If you want bacon, I can help you out in that area. See me afterwards. I'll tell you how. And some of you have already figured it out. Thanksgiving is an incredible time, but we have to see that this is more than a one-time event. We have to see this is more than November. We have to see that over 110 times the Bible talks about giving thanks. And if it says it one time, we have to see it's important. But it says 110 times, giving me an understanding that something changes in the atmosphere when I'm grateful. When I'm a thankful person, something changes. My gratitude, my life, my friends, my surroundings, my environment, everything about that changes when I am a person that lives with an attitude of thanksgiving. It changes everything. And again, a lot of times we base it on circumstance or we base it on how good life is, and the Bible is clear on that as well. That's not what it's about. In fact, 1 Thessalonians says it this way, rejoice always. Are you clear on that? Always means all the time. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for who? For you. What is the will of God? To give thanks in everything, and which is usually confusing for us. Because you're saying, listen, so I'm supposed to give thanks for this or for that or this bad thing happened in my life. I'm supposed to give thanks for that. And we have to be clear. No, he doesn't say give thanks for that. He says give thanks in that. That in the midst of whatever you're doing, what he's asking you to do, the will of God for your life is you give thanks in that situation so that you're a person that can honor God through the situation. I don't say, God, thanks for this happening in my life, and God, thanks for this accident or this cancer or this person dying. I want to be a person that in the middle of it, that I can be thankful for who God is and that I don't lose my relationship with Christ over whatever's happened. There have been people that have walked away from Christ because of a situation and a circumstance. When he's saying, give thanks in every circumstance, what he's asking us to do is to maintain even through the hard times. And there's going to be hard times. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news this morning, but you're going to have hard times. And there's going to be moments that you have hard times that in the light of life, as you get older, you'll realize it wasn't really that hard anyway. You blew it up. The people around you blew it up. The situations got blown out of proportion. Welcome to high school. I'm just kidding. can you guys admit? True? So, we have to see, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. We have to see that when I don't give thanks, I'm walking outside of the will of God. When I choose to complain and not be thankful, I'm walking outside of the will of God. And when you and I walk outside the will of God, bad things happen. See, we see results of situations, and we try to pinpoint it to something else. God says, I pinpoint it to the fact of your disobedience. How am I being disobedient? That I'm choosing to complain, and I can't complain and give thanks at the same time. It's impossible. So when I'm choosing to complain over giving thanks, over honoring God, over seeing the big picture and not the small things that are happening in my life, I'm outside of the will of God and bad things happen outside of the will of God. We don't talk about it because we try to justify the bad things so that we feel better about ourselves. When really it could be pointed back to the fact that your attitude stinks And that's the reason that's happening. It says this about the children of Israel, and something we talk about all the time. For 40 years, they wondered. Why did they wonder? Because they murmured and complained. You're stuck in the same place that you are right now, and sometimes you're acting like a child, not because bad things have happened to you, but because you choose to complain as opposed to give God thanks. Let's be real. There's always something in our life that we can complain about. Always. All the time. But if I'm choosing to honor God in the things that I do have, and the things that I am thankful for, that changes everything. I then find myself not only complaining less, but thinking differently when I choose to have the right attitude and give thanks. So why? Why should we give thanks? 2 Corinthians 2:14 says it this way. But thank God, He has made us His captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. So first and foremost, because God is a God that causes you to be triumphant. That's why I give thanks, because God is for you. Because God is not against you. And you have to hear this. We have to hear this as people moving forward, that God is for you. He's not against you. I don't thank God when I think He's against me. So you want to know what your attitude towards God is right now? Find out when something bad happens, what you do with your relationship with God. All of a sudden, you're not reading your Bible like you used to. All of a sudden, you're shunning friends like you never have before. All of a sudden, you're not praying like you used to. And then you're saying, God, why is this all happening in my life? And we start complaining to God. All we're doing is finding out that revealing is how my heart is towards God. That's what that's revealing. Because we instantly think that God is against us. I need to say this 1,000 times before we honestly get it. God is for you. God wants you to be triumphant. God is not against you. Again, God is for you. He is not against you. See, we a lot of times put our mistakes and the things that we do that are foolish back on God. And we blame Him. God, why is this happening in my life? Why is this happening right now, God? And we try to ask why all the time, when a lot of it, I'm not going to put a percentage on it, but a lot of it has to do with us. We make bad decisions, we're blaming God. God's like, well, it's kind of like gravity. You bought something you couldn't afford, and now you're asking me, God, why aren't my bills being paid? Let's go back a couple months, and the fact that you bought something because you were pre-qualified, and you bought it, and now all of a sudden you're struggling, and God's like, I didn't buy the car, you did. I didn't buy the car you couldn't afford, you did. Why are you blaming me for something that you can't afford? So now we're blaming God instead of giving Him thanks. It's a revealer of our heart. Because also the second thing that says is because through your thanksgiving, others get a whiff of God. That's what He says. He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. You know what it's like when you're around someone that smells good. I mean, this is a no-brainer, right? If they smell bad, you know it as well. And where does your mind usually go? My God, they need a shower. This happens, I'm sorry, kids, this happens as your kids start getting older and they start going through some changes and you start buying them deodorant and they don't start using it for a while. You know what that smells like. He's given us this picture of, listen, this is what happens when we're not thankful to God, that when we're around other people, they know you by your smell. If I have a nice smell, what's usually the first question? Man, what are you wearing? Smells good. What is that? You want to know the source. oh, it's such and such cologne. I got it for, if you're that guy, you're like, I got it for $10. You know, it's pretty cheap. Because it's bought from Walmart, you know. And so I spray that. That's the teenager cologne right there. When you're a parent and you force your kids to start buying their own stuff, they buy BOD because it's like $4.95, all right? So you ask them, why? Why do you smell so good? What is that? Why do we think it any different with the way we are around other people? That they want to know the source of why we're different. And so they're going, wow, there's something so nice about you. There's something incredible. What is going on with you? What is the source of why you're so nice? And there's the moment. Am I a thankful person or am I a person that makes it all about me? Because in that moment, it's a great opportunity to go, listen, hey, this is not me at all. This is what God has done. And because of what God has done, I can't like you even on my own. It's because God's changed my heart, and that's the reason I'm smelling the way I smell. That's the reason you're seeing what you're seeing. And that's also a revealer of our hearts. We're finding out in that moment if we're taking credit or if we're giving credit where credit is due, which we'll talk about in a second. This is where it comes, and this is where Jesus brings us to in Luke 17. Let's read these 9 verses. Verse 11 says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to this man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. We have to see this setting for a moment. This is the end of Jesus' life. This point of his ministry where he's hanging out with a lot of his disciples. He's hanging out in crazy places. He's in Samaria. Samaria at this time is a foreign place. It's where he talked to the woman. It's where he gave the analogy of the Good Samaritan, because Samaritans to the Jews were half-breeds. They were enemies. The Jews hated the Samaritans. Samaritan hated the Jews. And so the fact that he's pointing out this one Samaritan, this one of the 10 that he's pointing out, and he's saying, listen, it says also that he's on his way to Jerusalem. That's mentioned 2 other times in Luke's Gospels. It's a way of reminding us that Jesus was on his way to die for humanity. He was on his way, and on his way, he encounters 10 people, specifically 10 people who have leprosy. You and I, again, do not relate to what leprosy does to a culture. We do not relate from a standpoint of how the lepers were treated. We talked about this as we talked about 2 Kings 7 a couple weeks ago. Lepers were the worst of the worst. It didn't matter if you were Jew or Samaritan. If you had leprosy, you were a leper. Your skin was falling off. You were nasty. You had no encountering with people. You had no time with other people. Your family was, you weren't in around your family. You weren't even around people. This was a crazy disease. And here's the bottom line. There was no cure for leprosy. None. There was no hope. There was no government program. There was no medicine. There was no trial medicine. There was none of the such. When you had leprosy, you were given a death sentence. So understand these 10 men. They didn't just say, Jesus, could you maybe come in my favor? Jesus, could you help me with my body today? It said they shouted, Jesus, have mercy on me. The NIV, if you're reading, it says, have pity on me. Why? Because they were desperate people. They were desperate people because they didn't want to live the way that they lived. You read this story and it's easy to come back and go, wow, we should be grateful people. We should be thankful people. First, we have to see this. We must give thanks because our need is great. That's why we should give thanks. We should give thanks because our need is great. Everywhere in the Bible where Jesus talks about leprosy, he ties in the same thing as spiritual and a sinful condition. That he says, listen, leprosy on the physical is a lot like we are in the sinful condition. How all of us are. Again, so if you have leprosy, it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter. And so he ties in that, hey, listen, if you have spiritual leprosy, it's a sinful condition. We're all placed in the same category. It don't matter where you're from. It don't matter what your family name is. It doesn't matter what your parents did, where your ancestors came from. You and I are born into the same sinful problem. We have a sinful condition. All of us. That's why Luke 9:23 says what it does. If anyone would come after me, the invitation is all-inclusive. Because we're all in the same category. You and I put each other in categories. God doesn't. He says, listen, you all start off in the same place. You're all in a sinful condition. And what you think might save you isn't really what saves you. And Jesus puts us all in the same category. He says, we're all sinners. Every single one of us. Nobody exempt. A spiritual leprosy of some sorts. That we have no hope. Without Jesus doing what he did, we're all subject to die. This is what spiritual leprosy is. As a leper, you don't associate with people. As spiritual leprosy, there's a disconnect between God when I have spiritual leprosy. When I fail to see that I'm a sinful person. That's why Luke 9:23 says, if anyone would come after me, what must you do first? Deny yourself. This is the problem in most of the case when it comes to the gospel. We like the good news. I just don't want to deny myself. Because I'm not seeing the need as great. These men had no problem seeing that their need was great. When I realize that my need is great, I have no problem shouting and giving God all the credit. I have no problem letting him know when I understand my need is great. Nobody had to look at the lepers and go, I mean, you guys aren't that bad. They shouted because they knew their need was great. We must give thanks because God's mercy is greater than our need. Amen. I can imagine every single one of these 10 were eager to go home and to see their family. I would imagine that every single one of them who had done whatever it takes to see and do life as it used to be. I would imagine that every single one of them would have done whatever it takes to just have that one experience around family. I don't know what it's like when something is separated, when you've lost someone by death, and now all of a sudden you don't have those memories anymore, when you don't have the things that you used to participate in, the times with the family. This is where these 10 men are. They don't have times with family. They're separated from everybody else. We can understand that to some extent because we've all lost someone in our lives. Whether it be a parent, a husband, a wife, whatever. We've lost somebody, and so we understand where they are coming from. We must give thanks to whom it's due. It says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting. We have to see that. He wasn't just thankful. He let everybody know. Amen. When was the last time you and I were that thankful to God that it didn't matter if it was our personality, it didn't matter if somebody else was around, we didn't care who heard it. We were so passionate about what God had done that we shouted and we gave him the credit for who the credit is due. If we could be real, I think we don't give God the credit that he's due because I think we think that we've done enough. I think we think that we've done enough. I think we don't take things to God like we should. I think we don't give God thanks for like we should because I think we think we've done it. I think we take more credit than we give to God. I think I give more credit to myself sometimes than I do to God because in my mind, I don't know that he's worthy of that. Because when I find out that he's worthy of that, then I have no problem shouting, thank you, God, for what you've done. And I'm not just talking about an event or escaping some accident that you should have been in or God showing up one time. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about an attitude, a lifestyle that I'm giving God the credit, even in the small things. Not in just the big things, not just in the big times that God shows up, but in the small moments. I think this big moment revealed the heart of the one leper. I don't think all of a sudden because one good thing happened, now all of a sudden he's grateful. I think the big thing that happened revealed that he had a grateful heart. I think when the big moments happen, you might think in this moment I would respond just like that one leper, but I don't know that we would. I think I find myself more in the nine than I do in the one. And if we would be spiritually honest, we would all find ourselves in the nine. Because every single day, there's things that have our eyes open, and I'm even thanking God, or I'm walking away like one of the nine. Listen to what Romans 1:21 says. It says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God, or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Hear this again. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. The end result, their minds were dark and were confused. You and I can draw conclusions as to if my mind is dark and confused, what happens? What happens if your mind is dark and confused? Not good. Keep reading Romans 1. Keep reading what happens. It says at one point that not only were they doing things that were crazy, it says at one point that they invented new ways to sin. How would you like that written about you? Well, they weren't just sinning like they used to. They invented new ways to sin. Why? It says they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. So two stories about two separate people. First and foremost, 10 lepers who cried out for mercy, and it says they started to go. So I would argue that these 10 lepers had an element of faith, had a level of obedience. So you and I can't play that card. Well, God, I got faith. It says these men knew God, yet they refused to worship him as God and even give him thanks. It didn't say they didn't know God. It said they knew God. This brings in Matthew 7, where it says, I know you've said you prophesied my name. I know you said you've healed people, but I don't even know you. It brings all of this scariness into this one scripture of us realizing, listen, you may have faith, you may have obedience. You may be able to say you know God and you know things about God. And I would say that's awesome, that's great, that's a great starting place. But when it's an opportunity to give God thanks and to give God the credit for what he's due and what he's done in your life, we usually walk away. We usually take the credit. Why did these men who knew God refuse to worship him as God? Why did they refuse to give him thanks? Because in their eyes, they had done just as much as God. Come on. R.C. Sproul says it this way. I encourage you to read the book about following Christ. This is his quote, not mine. He says, Jesus' encounter with the 10 lepers illustrates the importance of thanksgiving. Countless sermons have been preached about the healing of the 10 lepers, focusing attention on the theme of gratitude. The thrust of many of these sermons have been that Jesus healed 10 lepers, but that only one of them was grateful. The only polite response to such preaching is to call it what it is, nonsense. It is inconceivable that a leper enduring the abject misery he faced daily in the ancient world would not be grateful for receiving instant healing from this dreadful disease. Had he been one of the lepers, even Adolf Hitler would have been grateful. The issue in the story is not one of gratitude, but of thanksgiving. It is one thing to feel grateful. It is another thing to express it. Lepers were cut off from family and friends. Instant cleansing meant release from exile. We can imagine them deliriously happy, rushing home to embrace their wives and their children to announce their healing. Who would not be grateful? But only one of them postponed his return home and took time to give thanks. So, I think his words are profound. And the key that we recognize and acknowledge God as the giver of these good gifts. I think that's the key, which means to my last point. We must give thanks when others ignore God's grace. In a culture that is so peer pressured, in a culture that is so about going with the status or the popular response, or I don't even know why I'm making this decision, I'm just making this decision. This is our culture. In a culture where this is happening, one of 10%, I don't care what kind of mathematician you are, that's never a good percentage. Never. 10%, one of the 10 coming back and giving thanks, ignoring the fact that everybody else continued on their way and giving honor where honor is due. And I've thought about this. I've thought, what were the other 9 thinking? So here's what I came up with. One way to see if his cure was real. One way to see if it would last. One said he would see Jesus later anyway. He'd thank him then. One decided that he never even had leprosy. One said he would have gotten well anyway over time. One gave glory to the priest. One said, oh, well, Jesus really didn't do anything anyway. One said, any rabbi could have done that. One said, I was already improving anyway. But one said, thank you. One came to the other. Here's my conclusion. There's a lot of great revealers of where our attitude or where our thanksgiving is. Here's 3 of them. Trials. It reveals where my attitude is. Loss. And my big one, confrontation. All 3 of those reveal whether I have an attitude of ingratitude. Whether I have an attitude of regret, of negativity, of complaint, or if I'm a person that is open to truth, open to correction, open to being told I was wrong. Come on, somebody. Every male in here, come on. Why is it ladies laughing? A lot of us have heard maybe of Matthew Henry. Maybe you study his commentary, preacher of old. But he shared a story that I'd like to just share real quick. One day he was traveling to preach and he was robbed. And most people wouldn't find this moment as a moment to give God thanks. But this is his quote. I am thankful that during those years that I have never been robbed before. Also, even though they took my money, I'm thankful they didn't take my life. Although they took all I had, I really didn't have much anyway. That was a little slant, God, you know. Finally, I'm grateful that I was the one who was robbed and not the one who robbed. I think there's always a moment that reveals. And listen, if you're Matthew Henry, I think it's natural to go, God, you must hate me. My life stinks. Why does this always happen to me? God, what did I do wrong? God, what was it? And it's easy to go to the other place of like, see, I knew God wasn't for me. Look at all the other people that are blessed. They didn't get robbed. And I think it's easy for people to find people that will justify that. You have friends that will go, you're right. Every time there's a trial, every time you see this in Scripture, all this happens to Job. Who shows up? His friends. Man, I would just curse God and die if I was you. I mean, what kind of friend is that? Jesus starts hanging out with blind people. And all of a sudden, the disciples are like, why is this guy blind? What does his parents do? Did they sin? Did he sin? Is that why he's blind? And Jesus said, he's not blind because of what his parents have done, because of what he's done. He's blind so that God could be revealed through this moment. See, here's the problem. The struggle that you and I have is that of control. The struggle that you and I have is that sometimes we don't like God's plan. The struggle that you and I have is not so much that we don't have gratitude, because we all have gratitude. It's just for some reason, whatever is going on inside of my life, I don't always express it. I don't always show it, which is the great revealer of my heart as to who's in control of my life. I'm either letting God take control or I'm trying to control it. And I can tell you what should take 40 days is going to take 40 years because you're trying to control it. And you're like, why am I still here, God? And God's going, I'm trying to get you somewhere else, but you are the problem. And then we're like, God, there's got to be another way. It's got to be my wife. It's got to be my kids. It's got to be my job. And God's going, it's you. It's you. And we don't want to hear that. And so we stay there stuck. We stay there immature. We stay there spiritually immature. And we're still in this moment. And God's going, I'm trying to grow you. I'm trying to change you. Would you stop saying you trust me and just actually do it? And before you and I start going, man, there's no way I'm one of those nine. I'm totally the guy at Jesus' feet giving him praise. You should see me at the Cardinals games. I am that guy. Church and the movie theaters, the only place that a lot of people don't like to sit front row, you know? That's the great revealer, except for teenagers today. Thank you. Thank you for that. Usually this is empty. Usually this spot right here is empty. You're doing what your parents didn't even do. You're sitting in the front row, and they've said things like, I spit, and so they don't stay here. They've said things like, it's too close. They've made every excuse in the world on why they're not sitting here, but at the end of the day, they're not here. They show up late in the movie, where do you go? Front row. You show up at church late, where do you go? Front row, because everybody else is taking up the back. Come on, you're nervously laughing right now. That's what's happening. And I do spit. I'm letting you know that up front. I do spit. It's going to hit you sometimes. Consider it holy. And it's water. It's just water. They're never going to sit here again. I don't even know what my point was. Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. Oh, guys, let's stand to our feet this morning. God, thank you that you are the great revealer. God, whatever circumstance, whatever situation, whatever life thing that we're going through right now, God, I pray that in the midst of that, that we would be found faithful. That we would be found as people who stay the course. Listen, you know what God wants from us today? And I know this may surprise you. I know some of you think, well, I know what God wants. He wants probably my money, or probably my life, probably this or that. God ultimately wants you to be faithful. That's all God wants. Because he wants us to be faithful. And not just in the good moments. Not in the moments of winning, not in the moments where life is good, not in the moments where there's no troubles and there's no drama in our life. He wants us to be faithful in the moments where there is that, when there is opportunity to walk away. That's why he didn't say, hey, give God thanks in the good circumstances. He said in all circumstances. He said rejoice always, because there's always something to rejoice about. There's always something to be grateful about. And in the middle of this moment of whatever's happening in your life, God says, I want you to be proven faithful in this moment so that I can grow you, so you can become stronger, because you can be the one that instead of seeing it as a test, it's going to be a testimony to somebody else. And you might see it as a mess right now, but God's going to take the mess and make it a message for somebody else. That's the point. Because when I stand before him, when you stand before him, here's what he's going to say. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's the words we all want to hear. Well, how do I hear them? I remain faithful in the moments when life is hard, when it's full of loss, and it's full of not winning. Nobody in this room goes, man, I love to lose. I love when life is down. But I think it's the great revealer of where I am, of what's going on in my life. And if I have attitude in my losses, then I would just say that your attitude is off. I would just say you're a person of karma then. That's all that is. And it's not biblical. It's not biblical at all, because God doesn't say give him thanks in the best moments. He says give him thanks in all the moments. That's truly different. That's truly different. Am I a person that gives God thanks for whatever's going on in the midst of it? Guys, this is always is an evaluation moment that nobody else in this room can evaluate on you. You have to see it. I can't show it to you. Can't smack you in the face and hope that you get it. I could. But it'd be painful. It's the great revealer of wherever it is that you're going through right now. It's the great revealer of where you are. God, today, God, show us the condition of our heart. And that is a bold prayer. Show us the condition of where we are. Are we like the one or are we like the nine? God, are we like the ones that refuse to give you thanks and worship you as God? Are we different? God, would you reveal during this moment where I am, where my heart is? In the name of Jesus.